I something just now looking back, you start to see kind of a pattern of how God works with everybody here, in that in His body. See, we're referred to as the body of Christ, and so with the body, all of us are in connection. If you're a child of God, you're in connection with the head. So the head, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. His thoughts become our thoughts, His ways our ways. That's what we're seeking for. Because when you're in Christ, all of a sudden you're connected up with who you really are. So we go from being separate from Him to being connected to Him. So when you're in connection with Him, it's no longer as high as the heavens are above the earth, are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. But now we have the possibility, because of a connection in Christ to the Father, to start hearing, seeing, thinking like Him. So when you start seeking, Him, what happens is He starts showing you, speaking to you, starts putting things, giving you stuff, and it's the same for the rest of the body. So He knows what's going on in His body. And so, for example, He knows what's happening with Roshi right now, and He knows exactly what she needs to hear and to know. And so, with that, God will put that in somewhere else in the body to minister to that need, and vice versa, something in her to minister to whatever's going on with you. And so it one joint literally supplied the need and the lack of another. So what happened here, and one of the things, cool things about you all doing it together as well, was that you saw in the pairing off when you would do sessions that even though you're preparing separately for a little while, when you came together, it was like, whoa, this is, we kind of have the same thing. God is, so it's not like, see, when people operate out of their own knowledge, out of their own wisdom, out of their own understanding, they do it separate from God. And so what happens is they're always fractured. They're always these little pockets, and they're always trying to get things together. When when you do things in connection with the Spirit of God, there's a unity that comes with the other people that are walking in that, so that you literally have brothers and sisters in Christ, literally family, literally people that are in connection with Him. So out of that, what you start seeing is, wait, we've kind of been given the same thing. And so then, and then when you go to actually share that, it's what other people need. So it's not, again, see, part of the programming that all of us have had has been, okay, oh, here's this one superstar person that hears from God for you. And so you now need this person because he is the anointed pastor, bishop, deacon, Reverend Pope John 16th, the 75th. And it's like, and unless, and without, and the accreditation of man goes towards those people. So man will seek to exalt, man will seek to put up, lift up individuals, and then deify them, make them a type of God, and in that process also separate you from who you really are. So this practice that you went through, this very real kind of stepping into it in just a small way of just like testing your feet in the water a little bit, one thing that you saw is, whoa, wait a second, you really are exactly what Scripture says you are, which is the priesthood of all believers. So every one of you is a priest in Christ Jesus. Every one of you hears from the Father directly for yourself if you seek Him. See, one thing that happened too, when you knew, okay, you're leading up to something, you knew that, okay, there's something coming up where so the fact that people had some time to know ahead, they were deliberately putting themselves in a place where, like, okay, God, what is it that you would have to say to these people? What are you speaking to me? So you were seeking for that. What did Jesus say? If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. When you knock, the door is open. So with that process of asking, seeking, and knocking, what happened? When you asked, what did God give you? When you sought, did you find what you're looking for? When you knocked, was He not there to answer the door and every question that you had? So, you can take encouragement, one, for yourself personally, but then also saying, wait a second, He works with His people like that. So it's not there's no superstars of anything in truth. And if anyone would try to exalt themselves or put themselves up ahead and say, okay, now you were something and you need to, where were you on Sunday? No, God speaks to you all the time. So you don't need that stuff. Those things are all supplements to if there's anything that's in connection with the Father. But you live in connection with Him 24/7. That's your life. And all the rest is just extra. Anything else that would happen would be because He's leading and directing it. He's showing you, and so you just kind of walk in that. So then now you begin that separation process between, okay, what is God, and then what is not. What is really Him, and what's the extra stuff that I really don't need in this walk of life? So what can be cut out? What can be dropped? What is the extra 75 pounds that, I can afford to lose so that, I'm ready to run the marathon? And what is the extra? Or what is the stuff that's just, just things that, I don't even need to carry at all? They're not. So, okay. All of you are spending time in prayer. When you are praying, one thing that happens there is you are connecting yourself. You're taking time to connect up with the spiritual reality and out of the temporal one. And so with connecting with the spiritual reality, what is ending up happening is God is helping you to see from another vantage point all that's going on here. Because if you tried to do this kind of stuff out of your own mind and your own thinking, what happens? It becomes humanism. It's like, okay, let me give you a nice, encouraging pep talk for the day about, good morals or how to be a better coworker or, don't get angry easily because you shouldn't. That's not what you need. So as you're in prayer, as you are seeking the Father for yourself and for other people, what happens is He then speaks to you. Good stuff. Good choice. That's doing pretty good. He then speaks to you. He then shows and reveals things to you. I'm distracted now. That's good. Okay. Yeah. I know.
Yummy.
Get Roshi got some. That's good. Okay. Okay, another thing Tanya said was, there was, when it came down to it, that there was kind of an excitement that started welling up inside of the opportunity to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And see, there's also this element where, okay, it isn't us, it isn't you. Andrew, you shared how you felt like it was coming out of you, that it wasn't like it was, there was something that was kind of coming out of you, not. What happens is there's the Spirit of God.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Come on. Come. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Welcome. Come, come. Okay. Hey, that's...
Hello.
We're debriefing.
Okay.
Okay.
He's checking our balls.
Yeah. They're going through... It's like reflecting on this last few weeks of everybody running through this, and and what everyone has kind of learned out of it, and seeing also some patterns of how God is speaking and working with everybody, and how He works with His body. So it's taking what you experience and now bringing it into a place where it's knowledge, and it's also going from heart used to head as well. Okay. And now Andrew was sharing kind of with when he had his turn, that it was, he felt like it was coming out of him. When he took one of the studies. What happens is the Spirit of God that's on the inside is the one that preaches. It's not the individual, it's not the person. Again, like we talked about, kind of like the body is like the car, you know, and what we do when we give God lordship is you move to the passenger seat, He gets to drive, but you get to go along for the ride. So you experience all of these things, but it's Him living through you, it's Him living out life, it's Him taking and directing. So when somebody ministers by the Spirit of God, what happens is the preacher that's on the inside is the one that's doing the preaching. The preacher that's on the inside is the one that's sharing. So what happens is you connect up with the source of life, who is Christ, and He flows through that vessel and speaks through that vessel, but you will know and notice that it's a shift between who you were and what's coming out of you. So, like for me, when I preach, I just preached in the States right before I came back here, and it's like I can feel it, I can sense it, I know the moment. It's like the first 3-4 words are me saying hi, and then because I've given myself over, it's like there is that shift then into the Spirit where it's like He really starts speaking through, and it's really exciting because what happens with that too is, now it's connecting. Now it is, that word is that sharp sword that's dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. That's what's coming through. So that's what's connecting up with people. That's what tests the heart. That's what is the seed. The seed is the word that actually gets sown. And then that's what's landing on the different types of soil and coming back different ways. So also realizing that when you share, when you minister, and it's not the formal settings, you're ministering all the time. So you will sit across from somebody on a bus or in a coffee shop. Or
he was ministering to the tuk-tuk dude.
Yeah, exactly. So you make the shift because it's not, there is no separation in your life. But in that moment, you sense the Spirit of God taking over and speaking through you. And that's, you shared one time about how you, the taxi driver, when you were in, and you said for the first time, it was like the first time that you ever did something like that.
And I even cried. I don't know why I cried.
Because,
I was praying, and I felt like his whole burden of his life was on my shoulder, and I was just crying, and I didn't even know anything about this guy. And that's the first time. When I got down, I was like,
what was that?
Because
what it was the Spirit of God in you that knows that man and that loves that person. He was touched with where that guy was. And you, because you were a servant and a child of God, what happened was He allowed you to experience what He feels for that person, and His love for that person was manifest through you. So when you were compelled to pray for him, is because you were there, you were available, you were God's child, and you were at that moment God's means. You were God's means of accessing the situation so that he could reach that person. So God uses his people all the time. So that's why, too, you remember how we talked about the act of prayer and the state of prayer? That's why it's important to remain in a state of prayer, so that you're in a place where you can hear from God, and you're also in a place where his power can flow through you just like that. So that wherever you are, whatever the situation is, and not just so that you can minister, but also so that God can have you where he wants you to be. So sometimes he may not want you to be in a certain situation, or he may move you out of a place, or there may be a bomb about to go off and he just doesn't want you there, or you know, maybe he'll just shut down your car. You know, I mean, but it's just staying in that connection so you can also be in step with the adventure that he has you on while you're here. But you all start to see, wait a second, one, there's nothing spooky about this. There's nothing mysterious about this. There's a pattern and a way that God works with his people. Everyone who is in Christ is a priest. You are part of the priesthood of all believers. There is no ordination that needs to take place. You were empowered and equipped by the Spirit of God the second that he came into you. Now there can be a breaking forth of his power in you, but that comes too, just ask him, seek for it.
I think also a cool thing was, I was talking to Neil today about just having Christian friends. For me, it's a new experience. Like, I've never had Christian friends all my life.
Yeah.
So with religion, I could never relate. All my friends were mostly Hindu and Buddhist.
Yeah.
And then when I came back from university, literally, Deepak and Tanya were like planted in my life, literally out of the blue. And it brought me back to God. So I stopped going to church. I was in a very dark place. And, you know, and since then, it's just grown and grown and grown. And
yeah.
It's amazing. And like, you know, and then with Bible study, we met even more people, like, you know, Andrew and Shaku and G, and, you know, so many more people.
Yeah.
And like, you feel like, you know, there are people you can relate to, who understand you, and who can counsel you on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And also doing it in pairs, kind of, I don't know, it just helps you grow together.
Yeah.
You know? It's amazing.
Yeah.
The best part about it is that every time we met, everyone is relating their personal experience so much that everyone just kept on opening up. You know, that we actually were sharing a lot of things, you know, on a personal basis.
There was a concept of trust was never
an issue,
like, or brought up. It was never an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone openly shared.
And not a matter of saying that, you know, I trust you guys with this
or don't say anything. You know?
Yeah.
Just whatever has come out, just came out kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just like the Holy Spirit just, you know, kind of set you free. Even like the first one we had was just all girls. Like, there were no boys.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
The best time.
Yeah, second time I came, they're like,
and I go, they're like, why did you come?
But it was and then like things you didn't think you'd share, ended up sharing. And you were like, oh, cool, you know.
Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, you were worried that they were going to judge you or your experiences or anything like that.
And also because like, we're not all of us are friends, not all of us know each other from anywhere.
Yeah.
So it was a concept of trust, but it just happened, you know, with the Holy Spirit, you know, being present for sure.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that happens too, I mean, okay, we don't necessarily just throw everything out all the time, everywhere. You know, there's scripture talks about not throwing your pearls before swine. You know, we don't just share anything and everything everywhere. It really is being led by the Spirit in what you share and where, what you've been through, and to whom. And so, like, because God also knows... we've all been through stuff. All of us have been through some really crap times and some great stuff as well. But out of the stuff that you've been through, the Spirit of God has a way of healing if you turn it over to Him. And then out of that healing, His life flows through even those broken parts of your own life and can affect and bless and minister to other people that are dealing with the same stuff. So And there comes also an ability to talk even about things when God has done that with you. So when he's healed people, say, of something in a relationship, or he's healed people of something from, you know, whatever. So if somebody's had an abusive background, or somebody has had issues because their father ran out on them, or, you know, so whatever it may be, God will, even in those areas, one, you'll probably be able to see it in other people really quickly without them even saying anything. And then even with that, God will give you an ability to minister to people in those spots because you've been touched with things that, and the difference is though, is that they're still carrying all the hurt, all the pain from those, whereas God has healed you in that stuff, or he is healing or working with you, or there's something happening with him even in that same spot. So it's his hope for them, because wait a second, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to be stuck with that. You can actually have something that is free from all of that. So it's one thing is also an encouragement where you're like, okay, whatever you've been through, one, there's somebody's been through much worse, so you're not the only one in the world that's gone through. Everybody in this world suffers. Everybody in this world goes through a lot of pain and a heartache. But with that, there are those that have been through as much or more that have had their lives and their hearts restored by the just by the pure grace and love of God that's inflowed them and indwelt them and given them something new. And so realizing that he's done that for others, and he can and will do that for anybody that asks, seeks, and knocks, that seeks him in that. And then when he does that in you, he gives you an ability to do that and to minister to others in those same places. So, but that's also part of coming to him, and that's part of us also directing people to the Father for themselves. So rather than duplicating and allowing for the same kind of stuff many of us were indoctrinated into, which was creating dependency on a person. So, okay, come back next week for your counseling session. You know, teach, or, you know, you just need to get some word from the pulpit, or rather than that, teaching people to seek God for themselves, because when they do that, he will, literally, the Comforter will come. The Holy Spirit will come. He will minister to them where they're at. So, so that to say that all the bad stuff that we go through, truly Scripture, when it says all things, God works all things together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose, he does and will do that. But you have to turn those things over. Roshi mentioned how what was so cool about having, she referred as Christian friends, basically people that are on, that are Christ-like, people that are on the path with Christ, people that are seeking him, because you, all of us know what it's like to have stupid, meaningless conversations that go nowhere. We all know the social environments, we all know what it's like to go to some place and you talk about the weather and you talk about cricket and you talk about who's going to what school. But you go through that. So there's a way that this world relates, a way this world relates to each other. But it's a very limited reality on so many different senses, so many different ways.
But also the advice you get
is from a worldly perspective. Yeah. The advice, so every counsel that they'll give you is always just how to save your life in this world and how to become something in this world. So, but when all of a sudden now you start spending time with people that are truly seeking the Father for themselves, truly seeking him, you meet others that are on the same track. And now, because they're seeking him, and the byproduct of his life in them is you now have somebody else going that same way. And you have an entirely different frame of reference with that person, because it's on a higher plane. It's on a higher level.
Can I ask a question? Just as a married couple who practice Christianity, does you all meet with other couples who are like, used to go to this couples ministry at the
Did it help? Or?
It did, because I mean, you know, certain couples shared how, you know, what their background as a couple was and what their difficulties, struggles, and it's like an alpha program, but it's for couples.
Yeah.
Just based on
That was one, but before that we went to church, there was a...
That's just the
yeah.
Would you get encouragement from like business couples, or do you not have that many?
No, it was the eye-opener in a lot of issues in our lives. I mean, what we took for granted, like we didn't even like some certain areas, we just didn't even like, you know, we just went along without even thinking twice about it. But there was an issue in that area. And we needed to address those areas. And it was amazing how, you know, God opened our eyes and like minute details, even, you know, when you get angry, you don't think twice about, you know, prolonging the longest time. But it actually affects, you know, as a couple. And the more you wait, it's difficult to, you know, get back. And like little things like that, which you don't even think of. But yeah, it's really, we learned a lot. As a couple.
The counseling, not the counseling, the program shares for 16 weeks or 14 weeks. Which was really good, like we have seen to them, we've gone for this alpha course.
Yeah.
Nikki Gamble's videos are shown, like there's this couple just like Nikki Gamble. They come and discuss what exactly goes on in their life. After the discussion, they bring up an issue like either finances or children or one of the things, and then after the
Nikki and Sheila.
And after they basically tell you how it affects Christian common, what should you do, and what they did without thinking about it in Christian terms, and how it should be done. So then they bring couples out and they interview them. And we met other Christian couples. There are people who are non Christians who came back there. It's nice to learn what they think and how they go about it. It's not that we have met a lot of people who are Christian. You know the friends we have, like you guys, all the other
people. We are not married.
We are not married. We are married.
It will stay like that forever.
When it's our turn, you guys can counsel.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing this for ages.
But trust me, because there'll be so many people getting married at the same time.
It'll be such all the counseling.
Just
you can really give it.
So you see some things about how God works with you. You have some encouragement now because you're like, wait a second. He's always speaking to his body. He's always speaking to his church. Okay, were there some times, what were some things that made it difficult to hear? Anything that
what
you
do
could,
you mean?
Like when you're trying to prepare something like that, what were some things that made it difficult to hear or to be in connection for you? If you reflect back.
No, like, you know, just normal life, everyday life. Work, the net, like, you know, you're always distracted. Mm-hmm. You had to set that time aside.
I agree, sir.
Yeah.
Actually, when you're within a group and speaking about the Lord, you just feel so happy and you just want to continue and
exactly.
You don't want to stop.
So much easier.
When you're not in that group and you know you're random stuff, you just don't think and you don't think twice about, you know, being preoccupied with your stuff and you know, you you don't really.
I think you get dragged back into your performances and your behavior and all that. Here it's different. Step out there and go back to the.
It just feels so much of joy when you're
speaking. Hey guys, I'm trying to understand where I'm going wrong, because when I get up in the morning and when I'm driving to work, I listen to a lot of gospel music because I like to. I think that time in the morning. Because that time in the morning is where I actually get a time to worship and actually, like, you know, I'm alone driving and it takes about, say, half an hour to go to work. So that time, like, when I get to office, I'm very chirpy and I'm very, like, you know, ready to face the day kind of thing. But somewhere down the line, after I get into my work, I tend to lose that, you know,
that joy, in the sense that
I want to bring God to every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
But I suddenly come back home in the night and I think in between I've totally lost that out. I missed out on that opportunity. So I don't know. How do you guys like try to relate? Like, how do you try to bring God into what you do during the day? Because sometimes I completely, like, I'm just so busy with stuff and so, like, doing 10 things at the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's just that when you come back in the night, you think, you know, you go in the morning with the intention of, you know, trying to bring God to every aspect of what you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, later on you realize you haven't, you know.
Go ahead.
I think what G said, constant connection with God, like even when you're going through a crisis, I mean, you pray in your heart, in your mind, or, you know, sometimes you forget, obviously you forget because you're in that mode, but make it a constant effort to be in connection. I mean, even when you're angry sometimes, it's difficult sometimes when you're angry, but
I think ask God as well.
John 17 is a good chapter to go back and read on that one, because Jesus' prayer, even for his disciples, for the church, for the body of Christ, for that we would be one in him, as even as he is one in the Father, that we would be one, that there would be no separation between, that we would be literally spiritually consummated with God, that there would be no separation at all between us and the Father. So that it's not, you know, us trying to take somebody with us, you know, like a child, you're taking him to work and now you're going to leave him here and take him. No, but it's really, literally, there's this fusion with your soul, this intertwining where there is no separation. It's you become one and the same. So literally when people see you, they see Christ. So that is what it is to be an ambassador of Christ. And so, and see, part of this too is our own growth and development that takes place with us, in which is why we go through this experience when we get broken in this world. We surrender to the Father. We die to this world, because like Christ died on the cross, the external, we go through this death process internally, like the feminine, and with that, the child that's birthed out of that consummation between the two is that, you know, you become like a child in the kingdom, but that child then grows in the maturity, because we don't stay on spiritual milk. We don't stay in that spot. As you continue to walk out life with the Father, you grow, you go through some things. You always keep a childlike nature, because you'll always be like a child in your nature, but you also mature in spirit. And so that's partly why it's like, okay, do walk this thing out, because as you do that, things that were challenges a year ago just roll off of you now, and you go to another level with him, where all of a sudden it's like, now it's much bigger stuff that comes and faces you, and those are the things that if you faced that 5 years ago, you would have melted. But now it's like, okay, because you've been through some stuff with God, he's shown you some things. So, but in the whole process that we go through of being shaped and molded and to be more and more like him, there's also just this chipping away at kind of the remnants of who we are and God being revealed in us. So
also I think more than, like, maybe sometimes you haven't got the opportunity and you think of it as being opportunity, but it wasn't really.
Yeah.
God speaks to you at that time. And last weekend, a close friend of mine, but she told me, because I asked after fiancé, she said that her engagement broke up. And I was like, oh, crap, of course, put me in mouth. And I was like, yeah. No, and I didn't know what to do. But then, and we were at a bar, but I managed to minister to her.
Yeah.
And ever since, she messaged me on Facebook every day this week.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, it's beautiful, but I know God has a plan. And, you know, like, yeah. it's like, I don't know, the opportunity came without me even, like, I didn't even have to think about it. Like, God spoke without me even knowing.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think, like, maybe even the opportunity has come. It's not missed opportunity. God just hasn't, you know, opened the, you know, right door yet. But when it happens, it just happens. It's not in control.
Exactly. See, it's even deeper than that, in that with it can be very much just even your presence.
Yeah.
And just a smile, just a touch.
Yeah, you might
just
be touching them without even knowing.
Just you being there, just this light being here. It's not saying anything, it's not doing anything, but this lamp that's on the table it's doing so much for just this environment that we're in. This is just, I mean, we're even spoken of like that. So it's, you know, if you put your hand on it, it's you can feel the heat. It affects the shadows, it affects the everything else that's around us. But this is just being what it is. It's been lit. So your lives have been lit by the Spirit of God. Just your presence in a place will affect it. So let your light shine. Also, on that side too, because you're in connection with the Spirit of God, there will also be an adverse effect on the world, which is in darkness, when you go into places. So don't be surprised if stuff starts manifesting around you as soon as you go into a room and you didn't do anything. So you go into a place and you didn't necessarily do something, but somebody all of a sudden flips on you and starts saying all kinds of stuff to you or about you or whatever, and you're like, where did this come from? No, it's the very fact that you are a bright light going into a dark room. Have you ever switched on the lights on somebody, like in a room and they were sleeping, and they're like, ah, you know, what is that? And it's you literally do that to them, and they're grumpy and mad and upset because yeah,
exactly.
And in the spirit, that's what happens, because all of a sudden now you come into a place and they don't like that. It challenges the spiritual dynamic that's there. So it'll be this combination of you ministering to people that are kind of stuck in the middle, that haven't really, they're not really on a way either way, and then also those that are sold out to darkness, that have chosen the broad way that leads to destruction, and them hating the fact that you are on the path of life and in the spirit it's recognized. So when that takes place, still God desires that you're there, that you're in that. His spirit is there working through you, and in that, it's cool, you know. But it's not, again, even about what you say as such. It's never about perfect words. It's never about it's just something that I have had to come past with all my background with ministry, was that it's not about having everything said right. It's about the spirit that's behind it. Because if the spirit is behind it, then that empowers whatever it is. Whether it's I'll tell you something. This will shake some people's theology, but I had a friend who was one of the ways that he somebody was like, you know, was off in some of the stuff they were writing to him. So he said, F you, and he just left it at that. And that was his way of ministering to them, because it just like, because if he did if he did this, you know, happy, like, you know, oh brother, you're just so, by doing that, and he said, and that was for him in connection with the Spirit of God, by doing that, it cut through all of the other, it shocked the person.
It cut the crap, shocked the person,
but with that, all of a sudden, it caused them to check themselves in some way, and it's just like, and for him, he's like, now, that's, it's completely goes against, and even for him, he's like, look, I don't encourage using a foul mouth, anything else like that, but he's like, speaking in the vernacular, in a way that that person could understand, in connection with the Spirit of God, and it was like, and it was just like, for that moment in time. Now, I know, it's like, for most people, they'd be like, because, and in fact, he curses sometimes, just as a means to shake people that would try to follow him as some kind of spiritual leader. He's like, look, I'm not trying to build a following, I'm just following God. And so it's like, and people that can't get past that element of his rough nature of his character, that can't see the spirit behind it. Because two, you remember, okay, when scripture talks about, when Jesus said, look, John came neither eating nor drinking, and you said, he's got a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a friend of tax collectors and hookers, and he's a wine bibber. And so they had this problem. So, but here's two different guys that came in two completely different ways. Both of them were servants, were, one was a son of God, the other's of those born of women, no greater than John. And yet they found fault with them, with some way how they came, some way that they showed up. Oh, his hair's too long, his hair's too short, his beard is too, he has a beard, he's clean shaven. Oh, his clothes are ragged and torn. Oh, he's too meticulously dressed. They kept finding some fault with something with the person, that they missed the spirit that's behind that. And see, that's something too. It's like, when you're in connection with the Spirit of God, it's never about the externals. There's a spirit that is coming through that. And so it can be in everything from a piece of art to, for sure, songs, you know, to something that, like, I got a chance to visit some different art museums while I was traveling. And some of these pictures were, I mean, you can tell the person that painted them was painting them in connection with the Spirit of God. There's a life and an energy in that art that is like a residue left even by that person's life. And so there's something there. So it's really, really cool. But we have to allow God to take us past the religion and the indoctrination that we've had, where, see, one thing about religion and what it does is, in order to control people, people have to be conformed. So in order to get everybody controlled, you have to get them in the natural on the same page. So everybody's got to wear the same tie, everybody has to come and you just go to a church, go to any of these places that are organizations of the institutions of the church, and if you look around, give them a little bit of time, you will see groupthink taking place all the time. Where's the individuality? Where is the expression of anything that God has put in them? Where is that being manifest out of them? No. People are taught to be controlled. People are taught to, and if you don't, what happens? If you step out of line within any of these places, if you do anything that's against the culture and the norms that are there, what takes place?
But at the same time, in the Bible, Paul and those churches were, you know, behaving in awkward manners.
Yeah.
There was always discipline in the church.
Mm.
So,
I mean, yeah.
When,
Okay. Even within these letters and things like that, when we start looking at, okay, Paul wrote epistles to different churches. One thing we have to be able to do with Scripture is also say, okay, who is God talking to? What is he talking about? How does it apply to me? How does it relate to me? So, even with the early church, what you see taking place is they are working with to try to put in some things with structures, with stuff that's going on, so that... But there's a difference between some of those things and words that Jesus would say. So you have to be able to weight stuff and say, okay, what is going on here? What is being instructed here? How does this relate to the context that I'm living in right now? So it's like, okay, where it's talking about men should not pray with their head covered, women should pray, never pray with their head uncovered. You know, I mean, like, what is that talking about? You know, what is it? Because Paul writes, he gives a little section on like talking about how people should conduct themselves. Yeah, so it's like, okay, is this a contextual thing? Is this something that is necessary for? Is this something that maybe was a courtesy for the people that were there, so they didn't get hung up on the externals, and they wouldn't get stuck thinking about that, and they could actually just not be focusing on, oh, okay, all these women, some of them are uncovered, some of them aren't. It goes against our culture, and then they're stuck there that they miss what God is doing there. Because like Roshi said, there's all these distractions that come every time you start trying to pursue spirit. So it's like, all right, maybe there's some things people do for a courtesy, or that God will have you do for a courtesy to other people, just so that you can get past that into, let's really deal with what's really going on here. So this is again where, whenever you're reading Scripture, whenever you're going through stuff, you ask the Spirit of God, Lord, what does this mean? How does this relate? What do I do with this? I see this in your word. What do you say about this? Because you can use Scripture, and Scripture is often used to get people to do all kinds of stuff. And the difference between something coming from the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, ministering to people, versus man's system of controls that are separate from God, used to fulfill a worldly, secular objective that's apart from the Spirit of God. So we have to be able to, again, discern. Discernment is key, and that also comes with the walk in Spirit. So you have to, and this is again where we take personal responsibility in going to the Father for ourselves and Him showing that. You can't put that on somebody else and say, because brother so-and-so told me this, I'm going to go with it. No, you can't go with anything that I even say. You got to check it with the Spirit of God. If it's coming from the Spirit of God, it'll resonate inside of your heart, bear witness in your spirit that, yeah, this is in fact coming from God, and it hits you there. So people can give you something, they can share something with you, but you always have to go back and check it for yourself and say, Lord, you know, what is this? And sometimes too, maybe sometimes it's just where somebody's at. Because again, we all go through a process as well. So we go through a progression even with our walk in the Father, in that, like, okay, let's separate this two ways. One would be like, you know, different stages of even our understanding in this walk of, oh, wait a second, this world we're living in, it's a fallen world. It's carnal. There's all this demonic stuff going on, and this is bad, and, you know, either I should hide or I should try to fight it or something. You know, there's that first, you know, stage of just kind of your eyes being open to what's really going on around you. Where, and then you kind of move on from that into God's love being manifest in you, you stepping out even from this reality, Him Him coming alive in you, and though you're in the world, you're not of the world, but you're ministering to people here that are stuck in this thing. So there's that. Then there's also like just the way that God manifests in you. He gives you passions and desires and a burden for a particular area, but you know, where all of a sudden you don't put that on somebody else and say, because I'm in, God gives you a burden for evangelism, and you, all of a sudden you're like, well, everybody should be evangelizing, and everybody should be, well, no, He gave you a specific thing. Yeah, we all share our faith, but He probably has put something in you a specific way because He wants you to do something with that. And you allow the space for how the body works with each of us, the gifts that He puts in us manifesting themselves. So what happens though with spiritual leadership or people that would give, have responsibility in particular areas within the body, they will give appropriate guidance in certain spots so that for the sake of the work of God. And usually what happens too is it'll resonate in your spirit that this person does in fact have that. But don't be confused by strong or charismatic personalities, because there's a difference between those. I've been taken for a ride on that before, where because somebody has a charismatic personality and they know some scripture and you know you like them as a person, where all of a sudden they're able to take you on this whole different path, and 2-3 years
well,
go by.
I think the Holy Spirit can use those, because
yeah.
So many times my parents are people who always have, you know, spiritual people come over and they all have verses for your family and this and that, and sometimes it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
just
yeah.
doesn't, and you're just like, really? I don't think so. You can't say it there, but you can just feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not complicated.
Trust that. You have to trust that. You have to trust when the Spirit of God resonates that in you and like, wait, this is off. Go with that. Because it is the Spirit of God speaking to you. When you're a child of God, when you're walking with Him, when you are seeking the truth, 100% truth, Jesus 100% in your life, when you are seeking that day in and day out, that's who you are, then when He says, this is not from me, even though it's got the white perfect shirt and the cross around the neck and carries the big King James Bible, that is not from Him. So maybe that person is just off and on another track. Maybe that person is a genuine servant of the devil.
Yeah, or anyone.
Because those are there too.
Yeah,
because actually talking about something, that was a guy who I actually had a lot of respect for. He's the one who actually brought me to have a relationship with God. But one thing I never agreed with him was that, obviously when I first started going out, I went out to the police. I don't know, for a long time. And what happened is that he got involved with a lot of people's relationships, and he said, you know, you can't do it. And he kept on saying this verse about how, you know, you're
don't be unequally yoked. Yeah. Oh yeah, we know that one. Yeah. We know that one.
You know, and this, you know, he actually got involved with so many people's relationships that, you know, he got very bitter and.
Yeah.
Not mine, but I know a lot of people who broke up.
Yeah.
Because he was such a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
And that he was so, he could influence people so easily. That, you know, that a lot of people actually just went ahead and, like, I know, I can mention names, I know, but I don't want to mention names. But guy had a lot of respect for, but what I thought what he was doing was wrong, because I don't think he has that power to decide whether these two people should be together or not. Maybe they're not from the same religions, but...
Well, what if he just preached what he, you know, what he was led, and then couples who were there were touched,
but
and
thing
that's
is,
why they
I agree with you, but the thing is, I think, I don't know, maybe, this is what I just want to ask you what you think about it, but I don't think it was fair for him to get involved to the extent to say, no, you have to do it.
You
can advise a person, you can say this is what God shows and all that, but you can't.
He has no right to.
Yeah, and because what happens is, like, for example, especially when you're in school and, like, say a person you look up to tells you something, you tend to go with it.
Yeah.
Like you just now said, I'm just a charismatic guy, and you have a lot of respect for that person, you know scripture, all that, you know, you tend to go with it, right? But, I don't know, because, to be honest, I got very confused, and I actually called things off as well.
Yeah.
At that point, but then later on, when I got back, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, I don't know, so...
Did nothing tell you, though, that it's...
At that time, I don't know whether I have... Thing is, at that time, I think I was so into it that I was blind, because to be honest, even the answers I was looking forward, even if I got the right answer, that was not what I was, you know, I was looking for that answer,
yeah,
and so that's all I reacted
that mattered,
to.
Yeah.
So maybe he had a point in it, but
the similar thing happened to both of us. Actually, I mean, he was a Buddhist and I was a Catholic, but so when I first came to know the Lord, and I was Catholic, and I was reading about it, learning about it. And what touched my heart was, do not be unequally yoked until you went one thing, that whole scripture really grabbed my heart, and it became an issue in our relationship, because we used to say this thing to each other, where I can't pursue his life and he used to come pursue my life. And when I started getting close to the Lord, I couldn't say that to him anymore.
Yeah.
And what happened was, it just, just tore us apart, then things got better, that we broke up, and then I got a friend. So sometimes the Spirit leads you. It's individual conviction sometimes. Someone doesn't have to tell you. Like, for instance, I probably went to church, and they were doing this message on this scripture. And sometimes the Lord Himself speaks to your heart. No one needs to tell you that.
I don't think I was mature enough in that sense to actually open myself up to what God was saying at that point. It's just that I totally went on what He said.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I looked up to Him so much that everything that came from Him, for me, was right.
Yeah, it was not actually God.
Yeah. It's human nature to, one, want a personality and want a human being so that, one, so that also when things don't work out, you can blame that person.
Yeah.
You want to be able to put the responsibility on someone else for that. And then also so that, it's like you have that tangible, okay, all right.
It's also that positive reinforcement that you need, I think, say you take a decision and then you go back to the person.
You need someone to be you did the right thing.
Yeah.
And human tendency is to, latch on to people who are, much more knowledgeable on the subject.
And also, they look at Tanya when they were talking about how we trust doctors and lawyers, all our medical advice and legal advice. But we don't put that trust in God. Put it in man. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
If a doctor says you have cancer, you believe you have cancer. But you don't say, no, I don't have cancer. God says I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
it's like they're there in the physical.
Exactly.
God is... Not,
God like is faith is the...
With this whole thing about don't focus on titles, because there's people that call themselves Christians that don't know Christ from a hole in the ground, and then there's people that would call themselves a Buddhist that is a pure child of God. I spent a couple of weeks with a beautiful brother in Christ that calls himself a Buddhist. Beautiful brother in Christ. Absolutely beautiful. Calls himself a Buddhist. We had some great, tremendous conversations. He is much further along in his walk with the Father. But he just uses that title. Because, see, when we were talking about something, he's like, he says, I do think that Jesus was the Son of God. He's like, yes, I do. I believe that. I do believe that. And I believe, yes, He did die for our sins. And then everything else past that is
But his whole walk, his life, his philosophy, it's all in Scripture. And who Jesus is been revealed in his heart.
What do you do with people like that?
It's not ours to do anything with them.
No,
see,
but
what,
tell me how. I don't get it. He
calls himself that as a title. But what his thing is, because Buddhism again is a philosophy.
Yeah, it's a way of life.
His is a pursuit of truth. What this guy is, his was a pursuit of truth. And in that pursuit of truth, Christ has revealed himself to him of who he is, and he's on this path where he's on a path of spirit where God is revealing more and more of himself to him. Who cares what the titles are? See, followers of the truth in the early Christian church, they were called Christians by outsiders because they resembled so much of this guy who is Christ. So the people are like, oh, this, they're a lot like that Christ guy. They're like little Christ. We call them Christians.
Also, I think the Holy Spirit can be so many people.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a Christian. I have a Muslim friend, and he plays Christmas carols on the 1st of December. So I was like, why? And he's like, oh, Muslims, all these Christians, they do something in their God. And I was like, do they? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know. He's like, can I come to a carol or something? But, you know, like,
yeah,
that was the Holy Spirit in
So, and see, if Jesus Christ, and since Jesus Christ is the perfect shepherd, the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd, he doesn't lose even one of those that are his. If he knows his sheep, and his sheep know his voice, if anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, if this is really the case, what you're dealing with, then you will find children of God in the most unlikely, unusual circumstances and situations. Damitabh was always a child of God, even when he might have called yourself by some other title.
Yeah.
You always were his. No, you know so. You know so.
I used to pray when I was a priest, and I used to pray thinking, like, I want to be alive. You know, I always thought that he's alive. You know, somebody says that he's no longer alive.
Yeah.
So I wanted, there was a figure, and there was something, but I used to call him Buddha.
Is that alright?
Well, so again, ask God the questions. Like, say, okay, Father, you see, ultimately, here it is. If somebody is seeking truth, if somebody is seeking the Father, if somebody is calling out to Him, so they wake up one day, and God is no respecter of persons, right? So they wake up in a brothel in Bombay, or they wake up on some penthouse floor in New York City, having lived a crazy life the night before, and wake up absolutely empty, and they're like, crap. This life, everything I know and I'm experiencing, this can't be it. And they look up and they're like, God, are you there? Are you real? Is there anything more in this life? Is there? And that even begins to be put in them by their Creator. He, the Creator, who loves them, will find a way to get that answer to them and meet them right where they're at. And He will reveal Himself in a person's heart, and He'll meet them where they are. Somehow He'll get to them. And so it's like, you know, what titles that people need. See, people, all of a sudden it's like, okay, God, you know, do you call Him God? Do you call Him Father? Do you call Him, you know, Allah? Well, okay, Allah is the name for what? Is it the name for God? Is it just the way that they reference Him? Are people stuck with, who are they really seeking? Are they really seeking Him, or are they really seeking truth, or are they stuck with, you know, the religion that's keeping them there? So are they really seeking the Father? And when they do that, God reveals Himself to them. So it's the problem is what happens is we come back to, okay, how now do we classify this? How now do we put something around this where we can understand it and control it? And we don't have to, because again, in the walk in the spirit, and this is, yeah, I know we're challenging some stuff here. Okay.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, at the end of the day, you just don't complicate things. You just take it very simply. You simplify it enough.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to complicate things. I mean, if God wants to use you in a Buddhist, do His work, or, you know, even touch Him in His own kind of way, He will. You know.
But then, God has salvation from you.
But he has to. He has mm-hmm. to.
Okay, we know people in that history.
Yeah.
Muslims or whatever, they have a salvation, but they can be
yeah.
God's help. But they are the salvation.
Yeah.
He has to accept.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get.
Yeah, yeah. Salvation, and this is one of those things too where I've been going through this thing. I'm like, okay, God. What do you save from? What do we save from? And this is even something I spoke about when I was in the States, right before I came back. Whenever we get this website figured out, right, we have technical problems. We'll post that one so you guys can listen to that one if you want. But it's like, okay, first of all, what is salvation? Let's ask that one here. We say, okay, people need salvation. Okay, from what? What are people saved from? Forgiveness. Because?
They're all sinners.
They're all sinners.
Yeah, and so why do we need forgiveness of our sins? To enter the kingdom of God. Okay. What else? No, because see, it's like, do we ever dig a little bit deeper with some of these? You know, when, so like
changing your lifestyle, like so,
but when there are something
that is a characteristic of,
but on the same thing, there are sometimes with regards to salvation and all that,
yeah,
it's just faith for us because we really don't know for a fact what is under.
Yeah,
because like for example, you say, you know, you want to spend the rest of your life with God in heaven, you know, His kingdom of God, but that's just faith. We don't know what He is. We don't.
Yeah, and
that is. We can't go beyond to deeper than that because again, it would be what someone tells us because no one knows.
And so this is where we start digging into, okay, now you are on this path seeking the Father because you start saying, wait a second, God, what is this salvation really about? What am I truly saved from? What is available to me now in you? Because if God is, and since God is, I am right now, not was, not will be, he's right here in this moment of time. If eternity is now, this now, today is the day of salvation. So if right now you can have that, you can have that life, what can you cross into now? What can you experience and know now? See, when we say, okay, save from sins, well, okay, yeah, but what did the sins do to me? What the sins do to me is they bind me into a base reality where I can't, like you talked about distractions, where I can't connect up with who I really am in Him. Where I'm stuck in a place where I'm stuck in this three-dimensional world thinking about what I did last weekend or where I'm stuck and where I'm trapped here. And I can't get out to the place. So God sets you free so that you can cross into the dimension of spirit and live there and exist there and experience life eternal now. So when we start talking about, you know, what is it that He truly sets us free from? Because what happens is people get separate. It's like we get these buzzwords that we never even thought about or never even explored what they mean. And so then we go out and then, because we're on a recruiting assignment by the institutions send people out to recruit. And so then you're like, okay, you need to be saved. Well, from what and why? And then it's like, okay, and they're all going to hell. Because why?
And some people are comfortable with where they're at. And they don't need to change anything. And some people, you know, these people go and forcefully want them to, you know, change their lives.
Yeah, right now they're bombing Iraq into salvation is what they're trying to do. That is what the satanic, quote unquote, the religious institutions of America, where I'm also from, half of me is from there, is controlled by the devil, is using the name of Jesus to attack and to destroy the lives of other people, because there's this crusader mentality that's stuck in there as well. That, I mean, it's completely antichrist by somebody that they would call a Christian president, who where's the spirit of God in this person? Where's the love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you? Where's anything in connection with what the scriptures talk about that's there? No, it's not there. So it's like, so what happens is because people will use spiritual elements, spiritual, to justify a preconceived idea, notion, determined direction they want to take people in, and then they'll use that, and then later on they'll be like, oh, because God told me so. So it starts with the individual heart wanting and desiring and seeking truth,
and also having the possibility to unlearn what we've
so much like, unlearning,
because we are just so conditioned by the world. When we get to the point of this age, you're bound by everything the world has taught you, so you repeat, you parrot, you mimic, and then you don't unlearn. And like, I think the Bible study is challenging to, you know, fight the norms of the world and seek what God really intended
for each one of you. To seek God's plan for each one of you, and watch as that manifests, you will fulfill the plan for the body of Christ where you are. So, and each of you individually allowing the Spirit of God to express Himself through you, the result of that will be just something beautiful that God builds out of each of your lives. But also not to get stuck on forms, functions, titles, ways that things have been told to you. And anytime that you dig deeper than what you've been presented with, start to say, okay, why? What else is going on here? So what is salvation? You know, what are people truly saved from?
Themselves.
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, it's like you're saved from yourself. You're saved from doing yourself in, which is something that you would have done a long time ago. And if myself speaking personally, if the Spirit of God had not been in my life regulating me earlier on, I know the damage I could have easily done to myself just with a few years of time and progression. I know that just left to myself, left to my own devices apart from God, I would have thoroughly destroyed myself. So I am so grateful to God that His life is in control. I'm like, hey, you take it. You do it. It's cool. Because out of that, it's like all of a sudden now it's like He saves you from yourself, but then He also gives you a real life. He puts you on that path of life.
What you thought was important before is not important anymore.
That is
the perspective of life has completely changed.
Priorities.
And if you can evaluate that now, you can save yourself from doing stupid stuff for the next 15 years, building up something that means nothing, putting your energies into some stuff that goes nowhere. Because, see, too, then the time that you would spend in the world, if you're in connection with the Spirit of God, then He will lead and direct that and show you where to put those energies, because that's where it's like, okay, the things that you do are authorized by the Spirit of God, because they're led and directed by Him out of a relationship that you have with Him. That's when it gets cool. That's when it gets fun. So, okay, so we'll kind of kick into gear next week. This is cool to come here and do.
Yeah. temple. I'm such a reading. It's so beautiful.
You're all in a good place with God right now. You know, just... to pursue what?
Have Bible study here.
Just outside.
That's right.
You mean just outside, or do you want to do it
here?
Well, yeah, yeah, we can mix it up a bit. And there's all kinds of different things we can do. We just have to pray about it. But yeah, let's just do prayer and we'll kind of close things up. But next week we'll go back to Yamaha and we'll kick it into we're gonna turn things up a little bit. So from kind of some of the stuff we've been going through, we're gonna take it a little bit more, and we'll see if there's a way we can incorporate some of the suggestions you've got while you've been away. So, but very, very proud of everybody. Very proud of because you were willing to take a step. And you found that when you took a step, God was right there in it. And so it's like, with that, very cool.
I think, whatever sort of done, I mean, it's great to have a group that is separate, because I think what I realize is that I feel very comfortable. Like you said, I mean, I don't know you all as well.
Yeah.
But I feel very comfortable.
Yeah, I'm supposed to recognize you. But it's true, you don't know, like, most of us.
I mean,
the
only bit I know of you all is when I meet you here, right?
Yeah.
So, but still, it's very easy to open up. And, but it's great.
Yeah.
We got the opportunity also, we wanted to actually share whatever. You gave us that opportunity to get closer.
It's amazing what I've noticed is when you're walking life with the Lord, Lord's will, and you're open, you know, for Him to use you. And when you speak to even non-Christians or even, you know, people who just, you know, suddenly met, without a doubt, I'm not exaggerating. I've seen this happening countless amount of times. They just latch on to you, not because you're who you are. I mean, just they just feel comfortable, and they pour out their whole life stories, and then after they have, they're like, did I just? and then I wonder. I'm thinking, like, I know why. You know, they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's because of God, you know, and sometimes God wants us to use that opportunity to minister to them. So,
I think even, like, for me personally, I felt, having done this, like, ideas that I had before, and I thought, oh no, I'm just going to bury them, but I don't think I could do that. And it's like, to show me, okay, you can do it, you know, I'm putting you out there, and so that's something, there's options, like, I'm praying about now. Which I want to explore later, and see how that goes. It's like God's given me.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you thought you couldn't do it, but you did.
You can.
You know.
I think God's all His concern is to start transparency with Him. I think we need to be open.
And also sometimes we just sell ourselves short. That's what I kept doing because of the subject.
Yeah. People, you think you can't do it.
Yeah. I gave you like a number of thoughts, like, I can't do it. Because I was like, if it was something like worship, I could just do it full on, but it's faith. And that's like one of the subjects I'm dreaded to, you know, share about. But complete dependence on Him, man, you know?
And you
did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we just thank You so much, Father, for our time together. And Lord, we just pray for everybody that couldn't come this evening. Lord, we just pray that You bless them where they are, Father. Keep them in good health. And Lord, just that You'd strengthen all of us, Father, just in our spirits and in our bodies and in our minds, Lord, so that we would be able to walk out this life, Lord, in all that You desire and You plan our purpose, Lord. So, Father, just this day, this evening, Father, we are so grateful to You. And we just want to pray, Lord, that you would complete everything that you desire in our time together, Lord. And so we just give the following weeks and just this, our time for this year, Lord, to you. And we pray that you lead and direct every single moment in everything that we do and say. And Lord, just bless your people this evening. We are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for Jesus that has done this and allowed us to be able to do this. So Lord, we go on into this night and into the rest of this week, Father, in Jesus' name, that you keep us and bless us, Lord, and keep us in step and in protection by you, Father.